everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
Today's panel, and since Bob Ryan isn't here, I can say this. LeBron, the first to have a triple-double versus all 30 teams. Oh, yeah, Tony? And Oscar Robertson had a ham and cheese sandwich while whistling the 1812 Overture. Also, the same. I gotta stop doing my Bob impression. Oh man, it's hurting me.
No, you gotta keep doing it. No, keep
the 1812 Overture, Tony. Miles Garrett appeal heard by the NFL this morning. Now we wait for indefinite to be made definite. Ruling expected to come down in the next day or two. Part of that appeal reportedly from Garrett, the Antonio Smith on-field incident from 6 years ago, which had a suspension of 2 preseason games and 1 regular season game. So, KB, while you consider that, how do you think the NFL is weighing it all?
I don't think the NFL is going to change its mind. I mean, you showed the videotape, and that doesn't take away from any of that gratuitous violence that happened at the end of that game, weaponizing a helmet against another player. Extremely dangerous. So it's good that he may be contrite now, and he was contrite right after the incident in the locker room, understood just what the gravity of this situation was, but I don't think it should change the NFL's decision-making.
So when indefinite becomes something, what should it become, Kevin Blackstone?
I think it should be the rest of the season. I mean, I look at Albert Haynesworth. He got 5 games. What do we have, 6 to go in this year? He'll be back next year.
Tim Kalish, how about you?
Yeah, I think a good day for Miles Garrett is getting 6 games and the knowledge that the suspension is going to end in the offseason if he meets with the commissioner again and you know, shows contrition again, something along those lines. I certainly don't think they would cut it back and let him play again this season. I don't think the Antonio Smith incident from a few years ago is a perfect parallel to the damage that Garrett could have done. He didn't do it. But he didn't know he wasn't going to do it when he swung the helmet and hit a guy bareheaded with the helmet. If he hits him with the other side of the helmet or part of the face mask, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. So I think you still have to rule with
Woody Page, what do you think the NFL's weighing right now?
Well, it must not change the suspension until the end of the year. I think they're probably deliberating whether or not they say, okay, next year you can come back and play if you keep clean off the field between now and then. But I don't think there's any way they should say, oh, we're going to bring you back 3-4 games now. I don't think that makes any difference. And Kevin addressed this in the previous incident in 2013 when a player was swinging his helmet. He didn't actually hit anybody. There's a big difference between attempted assault and battery and actually completing the act. And that's what we saw here. And I don't know that any of us who've been around a long time ever actually seen a guy complete the act where a bareheaded player is the recipient from a helmet that hits him in the head.
And Flashy?
Yeah, I mean, the guy, Miles Garrett, assaulted a man on national television. There's no coming back from that. There's no way the league's going to change anything. They're not listening to Antonio Smith. There's no parallel there at all. And in a recent, the only question is, does the suspension go into next year? Could it be a full 12-month calendar year suspension? Maybe 6 games isn't enough. Maybe they needed to do more. But the appeal, he's certainly not going to play again this year.
While the appeal was being heard, Mason Rudolph met with media and read Luke Labbe prepared remarks. We have that here. Let's roll it.
And my natural reaction was just to get him off from on top of me. And again, I should have done a better job handling that situation. I have no ill will towards Myles Garrett. Great respect for his ability as a player. And I know that if Myles could go back, he would handle the situation differently.
That seems to be quite different than what we heard from Rudolph immediately, Kevin Blackiston. How'd you hear that today?
Well, I think I would much rather heard him just come with his comments out of his head rather than from prepared remarks. But I'm glad that he tried to absolve Myles Garrett of anything. I'm glad that he apologized for his actions in this. And I also still don't think that he was the one who necessarily started this. I thought it was the sack at the end of the game, which seemed gratuitous, unnecessary. And I don't think he's deserving of
any. Tim Kalisha?
Yeah, I think it's a player who's aware of the criticism of him for pulling on Garrett's helmet. I'm with KB. I certainly don't see him as the instigator of the whole thing. That was Myles Garrett. But he's trying to just push on from this and get this behind him and, absolve Garrett of the blame and just get on
Woody
with football.
There are some saying, why is he doing this on the same day that Garrett's in New York? Well, quarterbacks normally meet with the media on Wednesday and the opposing city's media, so I don't blame him for that. And his prepared marks, Kevin, I think he put a thoughtful time into it, and he gave his deliberate answer. And I have no problem with that whatsoever.
Lashley.
Oh, the whole thing was suspicious to me. It seemed like maybe the union put him up to this, to read these remarks at the same time Garrett is doing this, to try to help his fellow player. That's what it seems
what
like
you
to
don't
me.
Think that's
spoke
the case
the heart. I think it's totally staged.
No, I think this was extemporaneous in terms of not with the cards, but that he did it on a day he normally
okay.
talks.
Right. We've been horned. We'll move on.
Conspiracy.
MLB owners meetings. Astros Jim Crane said only baseball questions. When only baseball questions weren't asked, availability over. Additionally, Commissioner Rob Manfred, while dressed, well, you'll see how he's dressed, had these comments.
I'm not going to speculate on whether other people are going to be involved. We'll deal with that if it happens. But, I'm not going to speculate about that. I have no reason to believe that it extends beyond the Astros at this point in time.
I'm not going to speculate on what the appropriate discipline is. The general warning that I issued to the clubs, I stand by. I mean, it certainly could be all those things, but my authority under the Major League Constitution would be broader than those things as well.
Not willing to speculate, definitely willing to excavate. Bill Plaschke, hearing that, are you confident baseball is going to see this through?
First of all, if I can understand the helmet, I can't understand the goggles. Were they welding right there when he was talking? That was very unseemly. But no, I think this is a big deal. I think baseball is going to look at this individually. I don't think draft picks or money is enough here. I think they could go directly to Jeff Luhnow, to A.J. Hinch. There could be suspensions coming from to those guys, the one who allegedly masterminded, the one who allegedly empowered and enabled it. I think this is much bigger than your old to take away the money, take away some draft picks, hurt the organization. This is an individual thing. I think baseball is really going to come down on
Woody Page.
Bill's in the right direction. They've got to send a message to all the teams that you can't be allowed to do any of this using high tech or any kind of low tech as a garage can, for instance. But I think that you fine them, which is not a deterrent, but you suspend as Bill talked about. Third thing, I do take away their first round draft choice for the next 3 years because this has been a 3-year process that we believe, I do, that they have been doing this cheating. Okay. So I think you do send a message to everybody else saying, we're not going to allow this.
Jim Kalisha?
I just think the hard part is going to be getting to where you can prove that A.J. Hinch and that the general manager, Jeffrey Luhnow, knew this was going on. You might get real close, but in the case of Bountygate, you had evidence that Greg Williams had done what he had done. That was pretty much spelled out, and it was easier to sit him for a year. But if you can get close enough, I think long suspensions for both the manager and the general manager are important to have. I think Manfred's powers will be very broad in this case.
Blackstone?
Yeah, I'd absolutely agree with that. I think that that's what you've got to do. You've got to connect all the dots, and you've got to see where they lead. And so far, we've gotten some dots connected, and we know that they're talking to a lot more people. And this is just something that has got to be emphasized within baseball. We know that cheating has been a part of baseball for a long time, but once you start using technological advancements to do it, I think you're in a lot of
trouble. In the grand scheme of things,
wouldn't be just be the Astros.
As far as punishment, when we're considering fine, when you're considering suspension to maybe manager or GM, taking away draft picks, how would you rank those, Kalishaw?
I think the suspensions for the two key people would be number one. I think draft picks, even international slot money, so you can't sign the next Yuli Gurriel. I think those things hurt, but I think the disappearance of the manager and GM would be number one.
Headline number three. Let's talk some basketball now. Do some scoring as well. Lakers 112, Thunder 107. Oh, yeah, says Flashy. This Lakers 12-2 start. I want to ask what the number one reason for this team's turnaround is. Flashy, you look so excited. So let's start with Tim Kalishaw.
It's got to be Danny Green's three-point shooting. No, I'm kidding. He's a nice player. Look, you put LeBron and a healthy Anthony Davis on the court together and let them run pick and rolls, and you just try to stop that. I mean, LeBron is leading the NBA in assists in, what, his 16th, 17th season. That's remarkable in itself. And we're seeing the emergence of LeBron after not playing basketball into June for the first time in 9 years after going to 8 straight NBA finals. He's rested and he's ready.
Mm-hmm. Plaschke is going to be rested and ready a little bit more. Kevin Blackstone, how about you?
Everything that Tim said is absolutely true, but let's look at a couple other things. Replacing Luke Walton as coach with Vogel, who is a defensive-minded guy, who's all of a sudden turned this roster into the best defensive team in the NBA, ranked number one right now, which, by the way, solves a lot of problems they have with three-point shooting, right? Kind of covers that all up. And then the other thing is, by adding Anthony Davis to go along with LeBron James, now you've got guys who dominate inside the three-point circle. I think they're a top-five team when it comes to two-point shooting percentage.
Woody Page, you have a reason why the Lakers have been able to turn this around so quickly?
Hello.
I'm going to make you and the control room happy. I'm going to use my library voice to answer this. Kevin, I would just say this. When you add Anthony Davis in the middle, that's going to improve your defense, no matter if you're the coach, Kevin. So I think that's a big difference. And we're seeing a transformation. It's an unusual word to use for LeBron James, but last year he didn't really seem like he was connected, involved because of the people he was surrounded with. And I think there's a new enthusiasm there that he's kind of gotten his production groups together, and now he's back on concentrating on getting back to that championship that you talked about, Tim. So I think those two aspects are what made the
All right, Bill Plaschke, we're waiting with bated breath here, please. What do you got?
I love Frank Vogel, I love Anthony Davis, but this is all about LeBron. None of this happens without LeBron. He's got 5 triple-doubles in his first 14 games. That's the most he's ever had in his first games of a season. He is playing defense. The Lakers have had a great defense. Everything that happens on that court is empowered and enabled by him. Plus, he's played in every game. He's in the top 15 in the league in minutes played. There's no load management here. LeBron's playing as a much younger player. He's as a revived player. You can tell he really missed the playoffs last year. He's back, and the Lakers are back.
There's this stat that he has had a triple-double versus every team, 30 teams. Nobody's ever done 30 before. Does that mean anything, Kevin Blackstone?
Well, it does mean something, and I'll say this about Bob Ryan. I know you took a shot at him over the Oscar Robertson
thing. That was a shot.
I'm just going to point this out. How great is LeBron James? He's 35 years old, 17th year in the league. Oscar was 35 when he retired, and LeBron is averaging twice as much as he did in any category at 35 years old.
Okay, but the idea that you got one against every team in the league, Kalish, does that mean anything?
You know, it means, first of all, he's going to be tied by Russell Westbrook in January. He gets 2 shots at the
Exactly.
9. But it's still a nice.
Oscar, I think Oscar had 17 teams in the league when he was done playing. he had no shot to get to 30. LeBron's never got one versus Cincinnati, though. We'll be back. Fire and sell next.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
College football playoff rankings. No changes to the top seven. Committee says Tua Tagovailoa's injury didn't impact the ratings, quote, this week, end quote. Bill, how do you hear this week?
I hear that they're going to give Alabama every chance to whack Auburn with a backup quarterback. They beat Auburn bad. They'll be in the Final Four. That's where they're setting them up to do that.
Woody Page, how do you hear it?
Bill, that's not going to happen. Alabama's done. They're not going to be in the championship game. It's going to come down, as
they're
I'm sure you're aware, to Oregon winning, if it does, against Utah, and it will surpass Alabama. The tide's finished.
Galashaw?
I think it was just nice words for Alabama. I don't really think they have a chance. You can't pick the best teams when that's your charge and say their best player isn't going to play. So I think the Pac-12 is actually sitting
Kevin
pretty good.
Flagstaff.
And not only that, but nothing happened to make you want to move Alabama. I mean, they won the game in the end. We know what happened at the quarterback situation, but let's judge what you do with the teams and the rankings by the scores on the scoreboard and not by what happens off.
But do you believe, should Mac Jones come in and light it up, Alabama will be seen the same way? Has Tua done that? KB, you don't think?
No, yes, they will. Absolutely not.
Flash can think
they
so.
Still
nope. We'll move on. Buy or sell two.
Alabama out.
Jerry Jones to Shan and RJ on the radio.
I want to be real clear about something. Zeke is one of the best football players in the National Football League. And it makes no sense not to be trying to get the ball to Zeke or get the plays in and around Zeke.
That was Tushan and RJ on the radio. We asked just this week if Dak being number one in the league through now 11 weeks is making you change your view of how you view this offense and who it runs through. Tim, buy or sell Jerry there on Shan and RJ.
Oh, I think it has changed. And we saw the change in the fourth quarter when protecting a lead against Detroit. They still didn't give it to Zeke much. They kept throwing it. Jerry just has 90 million reasons to believe that Zeke is still one of the best players in the league.
KB?
Well, I'll give you 25 of those reasons. That's because they've won 25 of 26 games when Zeke runs for at least 100 yards. I mean, this team is still constructed around the running game and Zeke Elliott. And so I think that Jerry Jones, if that was the real Jerry Jones and not the fake Jerry Jones, was telling the truth.
There's a fake Jerry Jones. Bill Flashy, how about you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, KB, Zeke is fifth. He's fifth in the league in carries. What do they want? And he's eighth in total yards.
Right.
He's rushed for less than 50 yards in consecutive games, first time in his career. Jerry is just trying to prop up his investment, and it's not working.
Woody Page.
Jerry, let me be clear about this. Why mess with a good thing? You've got you've won the last two games. Even with him not averaging more than 45 yards, Dak is playing great now in the MVP conversation, and you shouldn't be telling us that. You should be telling your head coach if you want it to happen, not us.
They didn't not win both those games that Zeke was struggling. They lost to the Vikings. That was those key second and third downs that gave the ball to Zeke Elliott. Yeah, other than that, though, they've won one of those two games. Well, we'll move on. Buy or sell three, NHL Law and Order. The punishment for spitting... Three games. That's what the suspension was for Garnett Hathaway. The Hathaway-Gudbrandson melee, which had how many sucker punches? How many punches while refs were holding arms back? Again, Hathaway, three games for spit. As of now, no punches or no games for punches. KB, does that make sense to you?
Well, there need to be some penalties for punching, especially that was a sucker punch. They've been held up and looking away. But spitting is such a disgusting act that I can certainly understand three games just for that in and of itself.
Didn't you say off air you wanted Hathaway off the team for spitting, Kevin Blackstone?
Don't I hate it. I did say that off the air.
Well, I'll say it on air too. Go ahead, Bill Flashke.
Spitting is a disgusting act. Yeah, sucker punching a guy like that is not continually, and they're ignoring it. They're worried about the spit. That seems a lot for that kind of sport. I think one game would have been
40
enough.
Page.
As someone who's had his face spit in, that's more disgusting than actually being hit. And, Tony, I think that I'd like to appeal those mutes because...
You would?
Yes, you reminded me I made a mistake, but I'd like to have my points deduction reevaluated.
Okay. Tim Kalishaw.
You know, I don't want to come out in favor of spitting, but when the ref is holding your arms and you're getting hit in the face, you don't have a lot of options to try to get back.
It sounds like you're coming out in front of
me.
Yeah, Blackstone, did I just fail out of your journalism school by talking about something that was off the air, on the air? There is no off the air! Bring it all here. Bill Plaschke, Woody Page, they're off the air right now. Callis Shaw, Black and Stone. Let's go. Showdown next.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
All right, Tim Callis Show, Kevin Blackstone, good luck in Showdown. Showdown 1 is Carmelo's debut last night. One of the most remarkable, unremarkable individual performances in recent memory, the Oregonian Joe Freeman. Tim, remark or unremark?
Got to lean toward unremarkable. Hate to get on him for minus 20 in his first game because he didn't practice. Missed his first shot, got beat down at the other end. It's going to be a long road for Carmelo in Portland.
What did you expect from him? He came out and did what Carmelo does. He got some buckets, as J.A. Adande was trying to remind people of the other day. That looked pretty good to me on that highlight reel you just showed. Pretty short highlight reel, but looks good to me. What's not to like?
4 for 14.
Yeah. Buckets, I mean, you're really stretching the plural there on buckets. There was 4 for 14. Point to Kalashaw. Showdown 2. Marc-Andre Fleury. The save gets better every time you see it. Kevin Blackstone, sing the praises of Marc-Andre Fleury and this all-time save.
Oh, that was outstanding. That was beautiful. A thing that you want to put in your video file, unlike the 20 that he gave up in 5 games in the Stanley Cup Finals a few
years ago. Oh, wow. Man. Oh, Blackstone.
That is nothing better than those dives. Those dives across the crease. Martin Brodeur had a famous one like that. That's a great one there for Fleury. I'm not going to get on him for the Stanley Cup Finals 2 years ago. He carried that.
Blackstone. Unbelievable.
Just remember.
This is incredible. This all-time matchup, Tim Kalashaw versus Kevin Blackstone, this is the 70th meeting. Going in, it was 40-29, Tim.
I got
make it 41-29, Tim Kalashaw.
Sorry to hear it's so one-sided. Some of you may not remember, it was just over 18 years ago I made my first appearance on Sports Reporters. It was so memorable, they thought we couldn't duplicate it, so they never had me back, technically. But my FaceTime, or whatever they called it at the end, was on the hottest hockey team. That was the New York Islanders. It's time to do it again. 14-0-1, their last 15 games, and Tony's favorite goalie in the Nets last night in Pittsburgh, Semyon Varlamov, doing the good work for the Islanders. Keep an eye on them, Blackstone. They're right on your Capitals.
They're right back. A parting shot for you, Tim Kalashaw.
Parting shot.
By the way, it should be said here, the greatest matchup ever in Showdown, Bill Plaschke versus Bomani Jones. Plaschke 18, Jones 2.